As Uber arrives in Alaska, towns without taxis have a new transportation option. And a mining education forum is set for October in Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. On visits to the lower 48, Alaskans may have caught a ride in an Uber or a Lyft car. Now, people around the state can use the ride-sharing companies at home. This month, Alaska became the last state to make way for the transportation apps. In small towns where a taxi service has struggled to survive, the companies could fill a need. KHNS's Emily Files has more from Haines.
It's a 16-foot dark blue Super Duty F-350.
If you're catching an Uber in New York or L.A., you might expect a sleek black sedan. But Haines resident and aspiring Uber driver Alex Stock has a Ford Super Duty truck.
It's Alaska. What do you expect, you know? That's the greatest part about it.
Alaska Governor Bill Walker gave ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft the green light to operate in the state earlier this month. He signed into law House Bill 132, which permits transportation network companies in the state. Uber did operate in Alaska for a short time a few years ago, but it shut down after a dispute over labor rules. Uber and Lyft services are based on a smartphone app that connects passengers and drivers. Drivers are considered independent contractors, and they use their own cars. For now, Lyft is only in Juneau, Anchorage, and Fairbanks, but Uber says it should be available wherever there are interested drivers.
I'm going to sign up and see how it goes. You know, I mean, I think it's a good way to supplement my income.
Stock runs a scooter rental business that caters to cruise ship tourists. He's getting involved in Uber for the same reason he started the scooter business. Haines has no taxi service or public transportation.
That was probably the biggest concern I started hearing from tourists. I said, well, you can rent a scooter from me, you know. Other than that, I don't really have an answer for you. Now this seems to be the answer.
If Uber would be able to provide the same level of service that a taxi cab company could provide or better, then I certainly would encourage the community to go that route.
Deborah Schnabel is Haines Borough Manager. She says taxi companies haven't lasted here because of the high cost of insurance required for commercial vehicles under borough code. But it doesn't look like Uber drivers will have that burden.
The authority to regulate transportation network companies and transportation network drivers is reserved to the state.
That's Schnabel reading from HB 132. The law essentially disallows local governments from imposing regulations on ride-sharing companies. Municipalities can levy a sales tax, but if they want to go beyond that, the law requires a public vote. Alaska Municipal League Director Kathy Wasserman is frustrated by the lack of local control.
The legislature, for whatever reason, promised an out-of-state company that, oh yeah, if you don't want regulation in order to come to our state, okay, we'll exempt you. Well, I mean, what does that say to every other business in this state? I mean, that just seems crazy.
The city of Juneau was also opposed to the bill's limited options for local regulation. But there are still some restrictions. Not just anyone can drive for Uber or Lyft. Prospective drivers must pass a federal background check, which screens for driving and criminal history. They have to be 21 or over. And cars cannot be more than 12 years old, and they must undergo an inspection. Soon-to-be Uber driver Stock is still waiting on the background check. He downloaded the vehicle inspection form, which he'll take to a local mechanic. He hopes to be driving for Uber by the end of the week.
So do you have any plans of how to be the five-star Uber driver? Are you going to carry mints? Are you going to play some atmospheric music?
Yeah, that'd be nice. I think the people will just be happy to get out to their destination, and I will do it in a calm and courteous manner. And maybe, you know, wash the truck. I think that's probably the best idea. Yeah.
I'm Emily Files, reporting from Haines.
Thank you.
Later this year, Haines and Clukwan residents will have an opportunity to learn about mining at a public forum. The event is being put together through a collaboration that includes everyone from environmental organizations to mining industry representatives. The Tokchinook Watershed Council came up with the idea. They held a similar event a few years ago. The goal is to talk with the community about mining benefits, impacts, and concerns locally. Canada-based Constantine is conducting mineral exploration in the Upper Valley. In the future, the Palmer Project site could become a hard rock mine. The potential mine was a major motivation for the village of Clukwan to apply for special protection of the Chilkat River. The Tier 3 nomination has sparked much local debate. Organizations with opposing views are coming together to plan the forum. They include Constantine, Lynn Canal Conservation, and the Haines Borough. 11 organizations are part of the steering committee. This week, those groups will meet to talk about what speakers they want at the forum. The steering committee meeting is not open to the public. Tokchinook Director Meredith Pocart says anyone with questions or concerns can contact her at meredith@tokchinook.org. The mining forum is set for October 14th and 15th. The rainy, cool weather in southeast Alaska this month is likely to continue in the near future. That might mean a little later and less sweet year for wild berries. KFSK's Joe Vicknicki reports.
National Weather Service forecaster Rick Fritsch specializes in the climate of southeast Alaska and doesn't see any big changes on the horizon.
The current pattern that we're in and have been in for all of June so far, I cannot see that it's going to change anytime soon. And so I would say that there is a fairly good chance that we are going to see above normal precipitation going into July. Climatologically, this is supposed to be the driest part of the year.
Instead, the region is seeing higher than normal rainfall because of repeated storms blowing through. Fritsch says it's different than the weather phenomenon called an atmospheric river that brings a steady stream of moisture to the region.
It's not so much an atmospheric river, but rather luck of the draw and just bad timing with a lot of lows showing up in the Gulf of Alaska, courtesy of the location of the jet stream.
Fritsch says lower-level cool air is being drawn into the region from interior Alaska by the repeated low-pressure systems coming through the panhandle. While daytime highs have been chilly, overnight low temperatures have been pretty close to average. And with sunlight a little scarce this year, some wild plants might be a little late in blooming and producing berries. Some have been wondering when popular wild foods like salmon berries and blueberries will be ripening. Darren Snyder is a cooperative extension agent with the University of Alaska Fairbanks' Cooperative Extension Service Juneau office.
We've been seeing berries developing here in the Juneau area. They may be a little bit later than in previous years, but we do see them developing on the bushes. And there are quite a few things that will play into when they ripen, when they are ready for harvest.
Some of the factors for berry development are daylight, temperature, and sunshine, or in this case, lack of it. Snyder and others say the late berry development is nothing out of the ordinary, and berry ripening can vary widely depending on yearly weather conditions. Snyder explains a little bit of sunshine will help with sweeter berries.
The plants here in southeast Alaska are used to having a good amount of cloud cover, and they've all adapted to that. But the more sun, the quicker they'll ripen, and also the more sweet they'll be. They can even ripen and look really nice and lovely and bright, but just not be quite as sweet because there hasn't been as much photosynthesis going on. And that's a function of both the light but also the temperature and how much actual sugar production is going on in the plant.
Snyder says the wild berries in his backyard are nowhere near ripe yet. And for people growing crops, he encourages taking steps to increase temperature and keep rain off by growing in a greenhouse to help plants develop more quickly this cool, rainy summer. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.